I am still going through some few processes with the doctors. I will be back in the fall. That's the schedule anyway. Amen. To start ministering. But here at the Grace Gospel Church, who ministers is not the important essence as it is what is ministered.
Yes, sir.
This time, let us receive Deacon Howard Gavin, and more important, amen, the mystery writings as revealed from the Grace Church in the Grace Dispensation.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We say grace and peace to the household of faith and of all God's people whom he has caused to look and listen in. Let us have a word of prayer that we might get the help. Amen. Summon the help that we need. Now, righteous and eternal God, our Father, Lord, we ask again your goodness, your grace, Lord, in this message, this proclamation, Lord, of the truth that you have given my Savior to the church, which is Christ's own body. You've given it, Lord, through your Apostle Paul, Lord, to preach, to proclaim unto your blessed elect in the grace dispensation. Now bless your people, Lord God, all those that thou hast assembled and caused to listen in or to hear from this immediate environment. We ask your blessing much, Lord, in Jesus' righteous name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I have been led to do something a little bit different. But first, I am continuing in the subject matter I've been dealing with for some months now, God's sovereignty in election to salvation. Now, I would like for everyone to turn in your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 8 and try, attempt anyway, by God's enablement, to give a reason why we preach from the scriptures that we preach from. Our primary reason. Amen. But we're talking from this subject matter, then we are going to examine and share with God's people, those in our immediate presence and those throughout, amen, this earth, whom God calls us to listen in, why we prioritize the mystery writings that our glorified, resurrected, glorified Lord Jesus Christ gave to the Apostle Paul to deliver to the Grace Church, which is Christ's body. God's sovereignty in election to salvation. God's absolute right. His supreme power and authority in choosing some and rejecting others. Even though he is the creator of all, God is a purpose God. He had a purpose for everything and everyone whom he has or having created or caused to come into existence. Everything is absolutely according to God. His absolute right in election or choosing some to salvation and rejecting others whom he has brought forth in creation. He chose some for his beloved, as his beloved, and others, amen, to show the difference in those of his beloved and those who are not. And we're going to scripturally prove, amen, that God chose some. No, you don't get saved. You don't do anything to get saved. We are going to scripturally show that God elected in eternity some unto salvation, some the beloved, and others were not or rejected. But they had a purpose in him bringing them forth to show a difference in the beloved and those that are not the beloved of God. It is shown in the spirits, the angelic spirits. You have Satan, Lucifer, Beelzebub, by whatever appellation you want to pin on him. You have Michael and Gabriel, who are the elect angels of God, chosen for good. And Satan can never be Michael and Gabriel, and Michael and Gabriel can never be to the extent that the devil is. God's election to salvation. But first, let's turn with me, before we go to our scriptures in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. We're going to examine Ephesians chapter 3 and give reason why, amen, we prioritize the grace scriptures or the mystery writings of the Apostle Paul. Ephesians chapter 3, our pastor is our designated reader, and we're going to take Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And we'll go to the King James Version. We'll go into the King James Version, which is what most of us have, and we will give explanation or explication from it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. Everyone have it? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, Pastor, if you will, begin reading at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1.
All right. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 from the King James.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this cause I, Paul,
mm-hmm,
the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles.
Prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Paul's ministry was predominantly unto Gentiles. As Peter, James, John, and the rest of the 12, their ministry was predominantly unto Israel, the children of Israel. Notice I didn't say exclusively in either case. I said predominantly. Peter preached, even though he didn't want to, the Lord had to arrest, amen, his desire or lack of desire to go and preach to Gentiles, Cornelius' household. So Peter did preach to Gentiles, as Paul preached to Jews. Amen. But that was not the thrust of the ministry of either. Jews were not the thrust of Paul's ministry, and Gentiles were not the thrust of Peter's ministry. All right, so the prisoner, I, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Read on, Pastor.
Verse 2, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God.
If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God.
Which is given me to you, Lord.
Which is given me to you, what? Predominantly Gentiles. The dispensation. It is also an economy or a house rule. We have seven such dispensations in the scriptures, beginning with innocence, and then conscience and human government, innocence and conscience under Adam, human government under Noah. A dispensation is a time. It is not the time, but it's a time of God's dealing with his elect. Amen. In his creation. And then promise under Abraham. God made promise to Abraham. He did not tell Abraham to build a boat. He did not tell Adam to come out from his kindred. God deals with his elect in several ways in the course of time. Then we had law under Moses. It was the dispensation of law. God dealt with Israel, to whom the law was given, amen, through the law. And kingdom, the kingdom will be eternally governed and ruled over by a son of David, our Lord Jesus Christ. And the grace dispensation was given to, as the federal head, those that one that it was committed to, it was given to the Apostle Paul to head up the grace dispensation. In our American government, we are now under the Obama administration economy or dispensation. Before him was the Bush administration dispensation. And we don't know who it will be after the Obama administration dispensation comes to a close, whom God has chosen to head up the next dispensation economy house rule of the American government. All right, so Paul asks, if ye have heard of the dispensation, not of the law or kingdom or innocence or human government or promise, but the dispensation of the grace of God. Read on, Pastor.
Verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
How that revelation he made known unto me the mystery.
How that by revelation revealing, Paul said he made known unto him the mystery. The mystery is that volume of truth, again, that our resurrected, glorified Lord Jesus Christ revealed in a 3-year revelation and Bible class, or course, if you will, unto the Apostle Paul for the Grace Church, which is his body, which is predominantly made up of Gentiles. The in the dispensation of the law, it was to Israel, the Jews. And in the body of Christ, it is predominantly made up of Gentiles, not exclusively, but because Paul himself was of Jewish ancestry and heritage. All right. But in the body of Christ, we lose all ethnicity, gender, and social in earth assignments. In the body of Christ, we are all body members. So how that by revelation he made known unto me that which was previously hidden from generations and ages, he made it known to Paul to minister to the Grace Church, which is Christ's body, made up predominantly of Gentiles. Will you read, Pastor?
As he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words.
Uh-huh.
Whereby, verse 4, whereby,
mm-hmm.
When you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ.
In the mystery of Christ, that which no one knew because God kept it a secret. That's why it's called the mystery. No one knew it. They didn't know it because it was not for them. Had it been for them of God, they would have known it. Verse 5, Pastor. In the mystery of Christ, verse 5.
Which in other ages was not known.
In other ages was not known, made known.
Unto the sons of men.
Unto the sons of men. God kept the secret.
As it is now revealed. Unto his holy apostles
his
and prophets by the Spirit.
Apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And that is not talking about the 12 that walk with the Lord Jesus. That is speaking of the grace apostles. Peter and James and John, and they are kingdom apostles. They will preside over the in the eternal earthly kingdom, our Lord Jesus Christ ruling according to 2 Samuel around the 7th chapter, 14th verse. He will rule as David's rightful heir over the eternal kingdom. But we are talking about the grace dispensation, not the kingdom. The kingdom also had a prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are not in the grace dispensation kingdom subjects. Our Lord Jesus Christ is not our King. He's our Lord. He's the head of the body of which we are members. So, Paul said, Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed. John and some others got a little more than the rest of John and Peter got a little more in comprehension. John, because he was around so long, and Peter received some comprehension of the mystery, just a tad, but he still had to confess that our brother Paul, in some of his writings, bring forth things that are hard to be understood because it was not given unto him. His was the kingdom preaching, teaching, ministry, dispensation. There were holy apostles and prophets in the grace dispensation: Barnabas, Timothy, Titus, Paul, Trophimus, and the like. By the Spirit. It was the Spirit's doing. Verse 6, Pastor, if you will.
Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body.
And of the same body, please, 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 please. Of the same body, the body of Christ.
And partakers of his promise.
And partakers of his promise.
In Christ.
In Christ.
By the gospel.
By the gospel. Now, Pastor, I want you to read the last phrase of verse 6, and I want you to go right into the first phrase of verse 7. Come right out without hesitation, the last phrase of verse 6, right into the first phrase of verse 7. Again, if you will, Pastor, please.
And partakers of his promise in Christ.
Of his promise in Christ.
By the gospel.
By the gospel.
Wherefore I was made a minister.
Wherefore I, Paul said, was made a minister. By the gospel where I was made a minister. He was not a minister of the kingdom gospel. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he came and appeared to Ananias in the 9th chapter of Acts, he told Ananias, go pray for one Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And naturally, Ananias had some reservation because Paul was a great persecutor of those that call on the name of Jesus. But the Lord told him, go, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name. Guess who he put first? Paul, being a Jew by ethnicity, the Lord put Gentiles first to bear, read Acts chapter 9, verse 16, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings, and he put the children of Israel last. Even though Paul began preaching to those around him and of his ethnicity, you know how we do. When the Lord revealed himself unto us, not when we get saved, when he revealed himself unto us. We're going to find out in a minute when our salvation was enacted. We typically begin speaking, and in some cases, many cases, were into death, those immediately around us, those of our families, our friends, and our associations. And that's what Paul did. He began first speaking to those of his own ethnicity. But the Lord Jesus put Gentiles first because Paul's ministry was primarily and predominantly unto Gentiles. He said, God's promise in Christ by the gospel whereof I, the gospel whereof I was made a minister. Paul was not made a minister of the kingdom gospel. Read Matthew, the 10th chapter, the first 10 verses or 12 verses, and we'll see who the kingdom apostles were that ministered predominantly and primarily the kingdom gospel. The gospel whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his, that is God's power. Verse 8, Pastor, and last verse.
Verse 8, unto me.
Unto me, Paul said.
who am less than the least of all saints.
Who am less than the least of all saints.
Is this grace given?
Is this grace given? He keep magnifying the grace of God because we are in the grace dispensation. Now let me say this. There is none that have ever been saved apart from the grace of God. But grace was not the dispensation. Grace was not the house rule. It was innocence, conscience, human government, promise, law, kingdom, and grace. We're in the grace dispensation and have been for about 2,000 years now. And when the grace dispensation concludes, the Lord will go back to dealing with Israel as a nation and preparing for the next to be reintroduced, the kingdom. Remember, the kingdom, and the kingdom gospel, good news, is put on hold because they rejected, according to God, the king. So the domain or the kingdom is put on hold. And when the grace dispensation comes to a cessation, we'll be out of here, Christ's body, and then the Lord will go back in dealing in and with those of the kingdom. We're not in the kingdom now. And the kingdom gospel, good news, truth, is not the message that should be proclaimed today. We are in the grace dispensation, and the mystery that was kept secret from ages and from generations, and yes, from all 12 of them that walk with our Lord Jesus Christ, until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul for the grace church, which is Christ's body. And this is why the Lord, according to God, have caused us here at the Grace Gospel Church to prioritize and minister and abide in the mystery, the gospel of the grace of God. Now let me say this for someone go off on a tangent. You are not unsaved on your way to anywhere but the same place those that understand the grace gospel, because you don't understand that the mystery, the gospel of the grace of God, is the truth for this dispensation. The only thing that has happened is that the Lord has not revealed unto you or convinced you that this is the message for this dispensation, for this age. To some he has revealed it unto, some he has not. But irregardless of whether he has revealed it unto some or not, this is the dispensation that the Lord is dealing with Christ's body, the dispensation of the grace of God. He said that I should preach unto the Gentiles, predominantly and primarily, not exclusively. Peter preached to Cornelius' household, and there was one that preached to the Ethiopian eunuch. But that was according to the kingdom. Paul preached to Jews. He preached the mystery, the gospel of the grace of God, because they, those that God calls to receive the truth, the testimony, they are recipients of the gospel of the grace of God, and their placement is as members of the body of Christ, where we lose all ethnicity, all gender, all denominations. There is only, we are only body members in the body of Christ. We are not male and female, Jew and Gentile. We are members in the body of Christ, spirit, and not flesh. and preached unto the Gentiles the untrackable riches of Christ. I know the King James say unsearchable. You can use that too. But untrackable, because they cannot, the mystery writings, the truth revealed unto the Apostle Paul for the body of Christ cannot be tracked in any of the earlier writings or any of the other or previous dispensations. This is truth of our members of the Grace Church, which is Christ's body, truth of our eternal inheritance and placement in the heavenlies in Christ. Now, I wanted to get that out. If I don't get too much further, according to God. Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. God's sovereignty, absolute right in election to salvation, and may I add, to some, not unto all. He has chosen some and rejected others. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. And that does, my dear friends, mean hate. I looked the word up. It does not mean love less. It means hated, just like it's stated. All right, Pastor, if you would, let's begin the first two verses, Pastor, from the King James Version, verses 1 and 2 of Ephesians chapter 1, and verses 3 through 7 from the interlineal Greek text. You may begin reading, Pastor. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1.
Right. That is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1,
mm-hmm.
from the King James.
King James Version.
Version. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
by the will of God.
By the will of God. Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ. You couldn't have convinced any of those that followed Christ or believed in Christ that this man was an apostle from his mother's womb, by his own testimony in Galatians chapter 1. He was an apostle. No strange thing. David said he knew me from my mother's womb. Jeremiah said not only did he know me before conception from my mother's womb, but he ordained me a prophet unto the nations. Our course is according to God. The tenor of our course in time is according to God. God has predetermined and preassigned every one of his beloved's course. And the course of all creation, the ages, the universe, and everything is course according to God. He's almighty. All right, Pastor.
To the saints which are at Ephesus.
To the saints which are at Ephesus.
Mm-hmm. And to the faithful in Christ Jesus.
And to the faithful in Christ. We are never faithful beside or out of Christ. Faithful in Christ. In our actualized essence, we are in Christ. Placed in bodies in time for testimony of what God has purposed regarding us. Amen. All right, verse 2, Pastor.
Grace to you.
There it is. Paul's predominant message to the Gentiles.
And peace.
The mystery. Grace. Gospel. Grace to you and peace. Where from?
From God our Father.
From God our Father.
And the Lord Jesus Christ.
And the Lord Jesus Christ. In 13 of Paul's epistles, in the first chapter at least, we'll get grace and peace, or grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father. God is not a man. He is spirit. But he continually informs us that he is our Father. Every human being after Adam and Eve that came on the earth had a fleshly human father. However it was done, that it goes back to a fleshly father. And through that, the genesis or genes and everything was passed on down to the children. We look like them, act like them, made like them, shaped like them, even do like them. And like them, we die or expire according to the flesh. But God is eternal. He is spirit. He's not flesh. Even though Christ took on a body, he said before Abraham was, I am. I am. And he is eternal. He is omnipresent. He's all-knowing. And in our actualized essence, as members of the body of Christ, our head, and we his body, we are just like our Father. We have the eternal impress of spirit. And we are not limited to a new earth in our eternal essence and existence, just like our Father, even Christ Jesus our Lord. We're going to see what we have as Pastor leads us on in the reading. All right, Pastor, from the interlinear Greek text, verse 3.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, mm-hmm. from the interlinear. Bless the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ.
The God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ. He's our Lord, not our King. He's Israel and those Gentile nations that will be joined in earthly eternal blessing to Israel. He is their King. He's our Lord. He's the head of his body, of which we are members. Read, Pastor.
The having blessed us with the every blessing spiritual.
The having blessed us with or in every or each and every blessing spiritual. That is our lot. That is our inheritance. Yes. Here we're going to leave everything. We're going to leave everyone, every substance, every possession. We're going to leave everything. But to something more glorious will our consciousness be resonated to. That which is eternally ours because of who we eternally are. We leave the physical, the natural, and be conscience-wise related to, conscience-wise, because we've never lost it, each and every blessing, eternal blessing, spiritual, in the heavenlies where we eternally abide in Christ Jesus. We will be reunited conscious-wise. Conscious means awareness and knowing. Here we are aware of cars, buses, trucks, buildings, work, money, and the like. There, our awareness is spiritual. Because that's our eternal essence. And so we have been blessed in each and every blessing spiritual. Where, Pastor? In the heavenlies.
That is in the heavenlies.
In the heavenlies.
In Christ.
In Christ. According to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, everything abides, all creation, everything that is, abides in the sphere of Christ. Everything absolute. Verse 4 from the interlinear again.
Verse 4.
All right.
Ephesians chapter 1 from the interlinear. As he chose us in him.
There it is.
Before foundation of world.
There it is. As he chose us in him before foundation or creation of this physical world and everything in it. We were already chosen, placed, pre-assigned, sonship positioning. Yes, we lose our gender distinctions also. No funny business, but all gender distinctions also are lost. We are body members in the heavenlies in Christ. And we don't know ourselves who God's elect are. All sin and come short. We are not judges of others' sins because their sins are not like our sins. And say, well, you are not, you don't belong to him because of what you do. We do not know. Romans 3:23, all sinned by decree of God and come short of the glory of God. So there's not categories of sins they can't be because of what they do. No, we can't be because of what we do or because of who we are in these bodies or ethnicities. Amen. All right. Read on, Pastor.
He chose us in him before foundation of world.
Before the world.
Being us holy.
Being present. Us holy.
And unblemished.
You say, oh my God, all that I've done and thought and intended, I'm unblemished.
And before him.
In our actualized essence, we are unblemished. But also in actuality, the blood of Jesus washed us.
Amen.
Cleansed us. Hey, hallelujah. Made us every bit whole. Amen. The blood of Jesus. He bore the sins of the elect. If he had borne the world's sins, all absolute in the world or ever come into the world would be saved or eternally saved in the heavenlies in Christ. But he bore the sins of the elect only in each dispensation from Adam on down to the last person. All right. And unblemished before him in what?
In love predestined.
Having predestined. Everything is already finished, done eternally. Everything is already finished. Having predestined or foreordained or even predetermined us. And what?
To adoption of sons.
To adoption of sons, what?
Through Jesus Christ.
Through Jesus Christ to?
To him.
To him. To him. To whom it counts. All this was done regarding us, to us, and for us. He graced it unto us.
According to the good pleasure of his, of the will of him.
To the good pleasure of the will of him. Verse 6, Pastor. And
verse
all
six,
this was done to the what? To the praise. To the praise.
To the praise of glory.
Of glory.
Of the grace.
Of grace.
Of him.
Of grace. It was done eternally, so we didn't have to get right with God and do it now. You can never of ourselves. We can't get right with God so as to receive his eternal salvation. It was grace unto all. To all the elect of God, salvation. Eternal placement, whether in the eternal earth or us in the body of Christ. It was graced. All sin and come short. There's not a righteous man in all the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. None. 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 Hallelujah. To the praise of the glory of the grace of him. What else, Pastor?
Which he favored us in the heavenly love.
Which he favored us. He graced us in the having been and are loved. We are loved because we having been loved in the eternal essence and decree of God. He's our Father. The Father loves his children. Even though sometimes they act like they're not his children. I mean, we act like we're not his children. Our Father has given a sin nature in the flesh so that we won't think we are something that we are not while we are here in the flesh. But we will continually see our need of him to help us, enable us. The more this boy act up according to him, the more we will call on him according to him to help us, enable us while we are passing through. So that we won't get the big head. We'll understand and know that salvation was graced, given freely unto us, and that we didn't get it on our own. And look over at him and say, what's wrong with you? All you got to do is this and that. No, 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 no. It was grace unto everyone. Every mother, every preacher, every deacon, every lay person in the pew, everyone on Skid Row that belonged to the Lord. Everyone. Praise God. And when I say everyone that belongs to the Lord, I'm talking about everyone irregardless of their sins that they are accustomed to while they're in this here. See, we get off on a tangent because my sin is not like your sin, so you're not in because of your sin. All sin and come short. God knows, the Spirit knows them that belong to the Lord. The Father knows his children.
I hear you.
It can't be faked. It didn't say we know them that belong to the Lord. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Judas Iscariot did everything with the apostles. Read the 10th chapter of Matthew. He went with them. He preached. He healed. They didn't say, Judas, stay here till we get back. When the Lord said, one of you shall betray me, none of them had an inkling that he was talking about Judas, because he was treated just as well for God's purpose. Judas went, he preached the kingdom gospel with them, but he was never one of the Lord's dear ones. So we cannot go around assessing who belong to the Lord and who don't, because of what they do or what they don't do. This salvation was graced unto us, and a sin nature in the flesh was given to every one of God's beloved. Amen. In the grace dispensation and all the other dispensations. Praise God. Verse 7, Pastor.
Verse 7, until it is Ephesians chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
In whom we have the redemption through the blood of him.
You know who that is. None but the Lord Jesus Christ. In whom he favored us. In whom we have redemption. We have been redeemed. Through the blood of him. That is Christ, obviously. Uh-huh.
The forgiveness of trespasses.
Let's never forget that. All unrighteousness is sin. We can't camouflage unrighteousness and sin. Sin and ungodliness is sin, even in God's beloved. But thanks be to God, he has graced us in Christ the forgiveness of all our sins. all our sins. Hallelujah. Forgiveness of trespasses according to what?
According to the riches of the grace of him.
The riches of the grace of him. And we'll stop there. I'm going to read a little from the document, and I'm cognizant of the time. God's sovereignty in election to salvation. I have one more scripture I want to get to, and it'll only be one, and that will be 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. The last phrase, this verse 6, of which we just read in Ephesians chapter 1, which he freely gave us in the beloved. We are in the beloved of God, we that belong to him. May also be rendered, which he graced to us in the beloved. We have preferred the rendering freely gave as exacted from the Greek word ikaritosin, which is the verb form of the noun kardis, which means grace. But for literal consistency, we have opted to use the lesser known verb grace, as it denotes that which God graces or gives, freely gives to his elect, those chosen. Judas could never be as Peter and James and John and the other 12, and they, you can ask Peter when you see him, they could never have the lot that Judas had. Peter denied the Lord not once, not twice, but he had a little more in his denial the third time. He had told them, I don't know him. And they kept pressing. So he acted according to this, which was placed in the flesh, preassigned unto us in our flesh. God's beloved, as well as all the world, have a sin nature via Adam, but according to God, in the flesh. But thanks be to God, we are who we are eternally, and according to God's eternal decree, we were assigned this, and it manifests in time, not where we actually eternally abide in the body of Christ. Spirit, just like Father. Eternal, just like Father. According to this promise, the thought conveyance would be that God graced his glorious grace unto us in the beloved. Note the Greek word translated beloved is a participle, that is a verbal adjective, which is in the perfect tense, that is a completed action in the past with continuous results to the present. Whenever the present is. In 1601, that was the present. The perfect tense brought the grace of God right down to that time. If there be a 2521, the grace of God for his beloved comes right down to that present. From eternity in God's decree, right down to whenever the present is. And it's in the passive voice. Passive voice means it's indicative of something one receives. You don't do it. It's done or doeth unto you. The passive voice. God did it. The implication is that from eternity's past, Jesus has and continues to be the beloved one. It is striking that in this verse, we note this adjectival description applied to Jesus Christ, but in three other verses of scripture, it is applied to believers or the elect or chosen or picked out or selected of God. 1 Thessalonians 1:4 and 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Oh, what a remarkable, as well as Colossians 3:12. What a remarkable example as we continually praise God for his glorious grace. For his grace. For we could only be saved according to grace. His grace. We can never measure up in ourselves. No one. No one. Ask Adam. Ask Moses. Ask Abraham. And look in the mirror. Praise Jesus. His grace to us through imputation. He counted unto us the merit of Christ, Christ's righteousness. Christ died on the behalf of the elect, and his righteousness was accounted or imputed unto us of the merit of Jesus Christ, which in turn has made it possible for us to also become beloved ones. From the exegesis of proper translation and interpretation of these verses, as well as others, we believe that they provide undeniable evidential documentation that the total work of salvation was initiated, implemented, and culminated in eternity. That is, a period when God was alone. Thus, we believe that it is impossible to apportion any contribution of these glorious decrees and acts to anyone outside of God, who is our eternal, spiritual, heavenly Father. Turn with me real quick to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. I got time for one verse. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. I had already assessed that when I got through, I probably wouldn't have, with the other, I probably wouldn't have time for but one verse. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Paul writes to the Thessalonian church and brethren and all in that assembly. But we are bound, obligated, to thank thee, God, always concerning you, brothers, having been loved. Having been loved by the Lord, because chose you, there's that word, is not going to leave, brethren. It's not going to leave, ministers. Is not going to leave, elect of God. Chose the Lord, by the Lord, because chose you, the God, our Father. We were chosen. We were selected. We were picked out. There's always God's beloved us, and we can't do anything about this. This is according to God. And them, the non-elect of God. But we can't look down on them because we were graced to be us. We were graced to be us. Having been loved by the Lord, because chose you the God, first fruit or first portion. We are first portion because of who we are again. We are members of Christ's body. No one else of God's elect throughout humanity and time are designated members of Christ's body, but the church and those that were assigned in the grace dispensation to receive God's goodness and grace unto us, and the knowledge of who we are and were from eternity, not time. It was manifested to us in time who we are. But the Lord knew us and chose us in eternity. First fruit to salvation in, and this is God's process, and sanctification of spirit, set apart by spirit, even when we didn't know it and realize it. In our worst moment, in our lowest time or point, we were still set apart by the Spirit. Now, we love the Old Testament writings. There's not, Ecclesiastes, I think the 7th chapter, not a just man in all the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. None. Nobody. Nobody. Sanctification of spirit set us apart. And faith. We didn't just believe. We didn't exercise our faith and become saved. Faith was given. Philippians 1, 28, 29. 29 says, it hath been given on the behalf of Christ, not only the to believe in him or to having believed in him is given, our believing in Christ, but also this something else is given, the suffering for his sake. So if we believe, it's according to God. And the sufferings that we undergo in this body in time, which will all pass, it's also according to God. Faithfulness, trust, conviction, belief of the truth, and truthfulness. It's all been given. It has been grace. Saints of God, that is the testimony. We were chosen in him. We didn't get saved by any means. Not by coming down, shaking the preacher's hand. Not by reciting the sinner's prayer. Not by getting dunked in water. Not by sitting up front on the mourner's bench and so-called mourning for your sins. Not by tarrying or anything else. We were chosen in him before. Scripturally, we were chosen in him before the foundation or creation of the world. Being holy or set apart before him in love, having predestinated us, preassigned, predetermined, sonship position in the body of Christ. We in the grace dispensation. Don't fret. You can't be anyone but who you are. And you can never ever be out of Christ if you belong to him. God bless you.